Welcome to Walking in Wisdom. The purpose of this broadcast is to take a close look at the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Our goal is to heed the exhortation of Proverbs 2:1-6, which says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So, I hope your Bible is open and you're ready to apply your heart to understanding with me. In this study, I will generally be using the New King James Version of the Bible and most frequently working with the Masoretic Hebrew text. Today's study brings us to Proverbs 2:10-17, which says, "For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness, and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it." In the previous verses, Solomon began to warn his son about the immoral woman. This is most natural, as this would have been the temptation for Solomon's son. However, in application, this applies to whatever person of the opposite sex that may tempt another person, a faithful person, away from the path of righteousness. There is truly no question that the temptations of sex are very powerful. This natural desire for physical intimacy and companionship was built into humanity. We were created to know and be known, first and foremost by God and secondarily by others. This is why God pointed out upon the creation of Adam that it is not good for man to be alone. We were designed to enjoy our relationships with others, and the marriage relationship is designed to be the ultimate human relationship. By God's design, we were built to be connected to one another and grow in knowledge of God and of each other. God designed us to be limited in time and space, such that we cannot know everybody with perfect intimacy, and therefore we are to commit ourselves fully to one other person in the bond of marriage. In this bond, we are meant to understand more of what God's love for us is all about. This very good God-given desire, like all human desires, is easily perverted by sin. It is not for nothing that the Bible refers to every kind of sexual activity outside of marriage as fornication, immorality, and perversion. We are often tempted to immorality because of our desire for pleasure, affirmation, or power. And these cause us to misuse God's perfect and amazing gifts. As with anything that is misused or abused, the result is terrible. Proverbs 22:18-19 tell us how high the stakes are when it comes to this important issue. These verses say, "For her house leads down to death, and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life." This language is necessarily harsh and relates how serious sexual sin is in our lives. In the previous verses, we saw the character of this person, that she is immoral, a flatterer, she forsakes her relationships, and she forgets her relationship with God. Again, this reminder is important. For men, the temptation of a woman of this character is terribly powerful. However, the temptation is no weaker for a woman who would be tempted by a man of the same ungodly character. No one of any sense could argue that the end of a woman's infidelity or binding themselves to an ungodly man is of any less disastrous result. However, in the context of this passage, Solomon is warning his son, as we've said, and thus speaks to him about the temptation that would beset him personally. We must take a moment to note that Solomon knew exactly what he was talking about. Of course, these words, as all the Bible, is written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But in this case, Solomon is speaking from his direct experience. 1 Kings 11:1-6 describes this. It says, "King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, 'You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods.' Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as David his father had done. End quote. Solomon knew directly the tragic end of pairing off with people who reject the fear of the Lord. Even the wisest person in the world lost all his reason and betrayed his very faith. We can imagine what this brilliant man was thinking. Perhaps he thought that God wouldn't care, or had a high-minded idea that he could worship the one true God in these pagan ceremonies. Whatever he was thinking, he was wrong, and it all started from making these close bonds with the wrong people. Thus, the imagery is very graphic. The translation, "her house leads down to death," is less graphic than the Hebrew word shua in the Kal means. It means to sink down. This is saying that her house is over a sinkhole and will eventually swallow up everyone in that house. Of course, this is figurative language, but it does draw to mind the picture of Numbers 16, when the earth dramatically swallowed up Korah, Dathan, and Abiram for opposing the Lord's appointed leader, Moses. This picture of a sudden and uncomfortable end is what is on the way for anyone who hitches their cart to another person who is headed away from the Lord in their direction, their attitude, and their action. And so the warning is equally severe. The paths may look like they head to pleasure or companionship, but they rather lead down to the dead. The word Raphaim is translated to the dead. This word Rapha means to the spirit of a dead person. Pluralizing it with the im ending in Hebrew means the dead as a plural. So the picture here is the result of this kind of behavior is a premature physical death will cause one to dwell in the place of the unrighteous dead. The warning is so severe that it becomes clear there is no hope of return. This is certainly shocking to us in the light of Scripture. Yet the warning is stated as such because it is so important. There is no going back. Once we choose to do something, it can never be undone. Sure, it can be forgiven, but nothing undoes the action. If something is stolen in this world, it can usually be replaced. When feelings are hurt, there's a chance for forgiveness and healing. Yet, when it comes to sexual sin of this magnitude, there's simply no take-backs. Much like a person who lops off their own arm can be sure never to grow their arm back, so sexual sin of this nature plagues the soul continually. For certain, Jesus' blood has paid for any sin. And there is life and peace and forgiveness to be found, and only that in the grace of Jesus Christ. But can I say to you, as a matter of experience, I have seen the Lord redeem people and myself from some terrible choices. Yet sexual sin seems to cut deeper and cut differently than those who fall into it are forever changed and never for the better. Proverbs 20 through 22 give the positive picture, so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. Remember, dear one, that Solomon was writing to Israelites who were living under the Mosaic covenant. Their obedience or disobedience would determine whether they would be blessed in the land. In the church today, we are not under this system of law and cannot claim these promises of physical blessing for obedience. In fact, we are promised by the lips of Jesus Christ himself that we will experience trials and tribulation specifically for living out our faith correctly. Yet, we still have the freedom to walk in the way of goodness. Or as Paul would later write, we can walk in the Spirit, and in so doing we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the Christian today, obedience brings a much greater prize than physical wealth, health, and prosperity. When a believer walks by means of the Holy Spirit, we experience the life-giving fellowship of the living God. And there is no better thing available on the whole of planet Earth. This passage closes by telling us that the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted. This is true. During the time of Israel, there were moments when God went to great lengths to purify the unrighteous from the land. The book of Judges tells of many of these times when the Lord punished unfaithfulness and idolatry through cruel and wily armies who came to discipline the people. After the time of Solomon, in 722 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel would be removed from the land by the brutal Assyrian Empire. Later, between 605 and 586 BC, Babylon would carry off the southern kingdom of Judah for the same faithlessness. After Israel's rejection of the Messiah, the Jews were judged and cast forth from the land in the 70 AD destruction of Jerusalem, and more generally at the violent response of the Romans to the Bar Kokhba rebellion, which ended in 136 AD. Yet, each of these events were but a foreshadowing of the great end. When Jesus Christ comes to judge the earth at the end of the tribulation, there will be judgment of the nations as well as a judgment for Israel. Those who are in a right relationship with the God of the universe by faith in Jesus Christ will enter his millennial kingdom. Those who reject him will not be suffered to enter into the land. As believers, we will see this very thing fulfilled right before our eyes. And if you're a believer today, you will be reigning with Jesus Christ, all to the glory of God. So until next time, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love.